Imagine boarding a plane shortly after 9/11. Your heart races as you recall the horrifying images replayed countless times on television. You're not alone. Millions abandoned air travel that year, fleeing to the perceived safety of highways. The tragic irony? This mass exodus to safer roads claimed 1,595 additional American lives, victims not of terrorism, but of fear itself. Despite living in history's safest era with unprecedented longevity and health, we're paradoxically more afraid than ever. Why? Our prehistoric brains simply weren't designed for today's information landscape. This fundamental mismatch explains why we consistently misjudge risks, fear the wrong things, and make decisions that sometimes increase rather than reduce our danger. Understanding this disconnect isn't just fascinating, it's potentially life-saving in a world where perception increasingly trumps reality. We're essentially cavemen with smartphones. Our neural architecture remains unchanged since our ancestors painted on cave walls, creating a mismatch between our hardwired responses and modern challenges. Our minds operate through two systems: gut, intuitive, quick, emotional, and head, calculating, slow, rational. When you see a snake, gut triggers immediate fear before head analyzes the danger. Like a car with an impulsive caveman driver and a bright but lazy teenager who should maintain control. When tired or stressed, the teenager sleeps, leaving the caveman in charge. This disconnect manifests when we feel safer driving than flying, despite statistics proving otherwise, or when we fixate on dramatic natural disasters while ignoring deadlier lifestyle diseases. These aren't random errors, but predictable consequences of mental shortcuts that served our ancestors well but mislead us today. When assessing risks, our brains rely on unconscious shortcuts that often mislead us. The anchoring rule causes us to use any available number as a reference point, regardless of relevance. Even skeptical parents mentally adjust from arbitrary figures like 50,000 pedophiles online, settling on numbers that feel self-generated but remain inflated. The example rule, availability heuristic, means we judge frequency based on how easily examples come to mind. Memories become more available when emotional, visual, and featuring expressive faces, explaining why people fear shark attacks, vivid, rare, more than diabetes, abstract, common. The good-bad rule, affect heuristic, may be most powerful. Our emotional brain instantly categorizes encounters, coloring subsequent thinking. Studies show positive information about a technology not only raises perceived benefits, but simultaneously lowers perceived risks without any risk data provided. These shortcuts explain why we overestimate cancer's lethality while underestimating diabetes, fear nuclear power plants but accept X-rays, and worry more about terrorism than car accidents. A single child's face on a charity appeal generates more donations than statistics about millions suffering. Celebrity cancer stories receive more attention than epidemiological studies. We're hardwired to respond to stories over numbers. This storytelling bias evolved for social bonding and mental rehearsal. While stories connect us emotionally, they're incomplete guides to truth. The 1990s breast implant crisis demonstrates this. Compelling individual stories overshadowed epidemiological evidence showing no causation. Our innumeracy compounds the problem. Though we share basic numerical abilities with animals, our capacity falters with larger numbers. Without numerical literacy, people rely on gut reactions to information like 3 parts per billion of arsenic, knowing only that arsenic is dangerous without context. Our intuition also fails with randomness. We expect random patterns to be evenly dispersed, believe certain lottery combinations are more likely, and fall for the gambler's fallacy, creating misperceptions about basketball's hot hand and cancer clusters. When overwhelmed with information, we naturally gravitate toward vivid stories rather than dry statistics, even when statistics tell the more accurate tale. This isn't stupidity, it's our evolutionary heritage functioning in a world it wasn't designed to navigate. Why do communities panic about minimal risks? Because fear spreads socially. While scientific information matters, public opinion forms through social cascades where people adopt others' judgments. When facing difficult risk assessments, we typically follow the group. Our brains seek confirmation of existing beliefs, with MRI studies showing we process contradictory information in different brain regions. When like-minded people discuss risks, their views become more extreme through group polarization. People judge themselves by asking, "How correct am I?" and shift towards stronger positions. Information pooling amplifies this, as only supporting evidence gets consideration. Social cascades form as beliefs transfer person to person until thousands perceive danger. Media amplify these waves through emotional stories, creating feedback loops where fear generates more reporting, which generates more fear. Risk perceptions vary dramatically between cultures, shaped by worldviews rather than facts. Research shows hierarchists and individualists see guns as low risk, while communitarians and egalitarians view them as dangerous. We filter balanced information about new technologies through our cultural lens. We're tribal beings conforming with cultural beliefs, not rational evaluators of risk. Fear sells, and industries have perfected its marketing. Security vendors promote products using emotional imagery to trigger our intuitive brain with unlikely scenarios rather than addressing actual statistics. Pharmaceutical companies employ subtle fear marketing through doctor's office posters and by funding health organizations that blend medical advice with sales. Their business model depends on people perceiving themselves as unhealthy. Drug ads rarely describe condition causes, 26%, risk factors, 26%, or prevalence, 25%. And while some mention lifestyle changes alongside medication, none present them as alternatives. Media distortion amplifies these tactics by featuring unrepresentative cases. Cancer coverage highlights young victims, despite most cancer deaths occurring in people over 70. Viewers exposed to disturbing images estimate much higher risks than those who read text alone. News outlets consistently report what could happen without probability context, creating denominator blindness when reporting deaths without population context, making actual risk calculation impossible. While fear-based reporting boosts ratings, reporters themselves are naturally drawn to dramatic stories that trigger our storytelling instincts. Despite widespread panic about child abductions, only 115 stereotypical kidnappings by strangers occur annually in America, about one in 608,696 children. Children face higher risks from pool drownings, 2.5 times more likely, and car crashes, 26 times more likely. Yet parents restrict independence based on exaggerated fears, potentially harming development. The media's crime pyramid inverts reality. Murder, just 0.14% of all U.S. crimes, dominates coverage, while property crimes, 88%, receive minimal attention. Americans worry disproportionately about murder, though only 0.0056% are murdered annually, three times fewer than die in car crashes. Terrorism exemplifies this distortion. Nearly half of Americans worry about terrorist attacks, despite the lifetime risk of death being far higher from car crashes, 1 in 84, and suicide, 1 in 119, than from terrorism. We live in unprecedented safety. American life expectancy rose from 48 years in 1900 to 78 by century's end, while child mortality plummeted from 20% to 0.8%. Yet fear defines our age due to historical ignorance and deliberate fear marketing. While we can't eliminate our fear circuitry, we can reduce its influence through skepticism, information gathering, and careful thinking. For most people worldwide, there's never been a better time to be alive, if only we can see past our fears.